this is Tia Wangaza calling the Affiliates Task Force meeting of June 12, 2008 to order. We will begin with the calling of the roll by the Secretary, Teresa Allen.
Okay. Chandra Hoffman?
Here.
Ali Rizapur? Tico Chekin?
Here.
Is it pronounced Chekin?
Chassin.
Chassin, okay. Joe Wanzala?
Here.
Okay. Alan Minsky?
Here.
Don White? Okay. Jan Goodman? Ray LaForest is excused. Sean Rhodes?
I am here.
Great, Sean. I left a message for you earlier today. Doreen Roberts. Teresa Allen is present. Sandra Rawline. Deb Shafto. Is there anyone here from WPFW? Afia Wangaza.
Here.
Okay. Dina Colbert.
Here.
Ursula Rudenberg.
Here.
Rip Robbins. Lori Taguma. Okay, and Cindy Ayers is our guest, A-Y-E-R-S. Is there anyone whose name I did not call? Okay. All right, Madam Chair, we are ready to start.
Well, first, as Chair Cindy, let me welcome you to the Affiliates Task Force. We've been looking forward to hearing from you, so we're real excited.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I've got a bunch of stuff from the NFPB to send to you, so eventually you'll get a big box in the mail.
Wow. Make sure it's money. Okay.
Well, maybe you can turn it into money. I hear you've got a reputation turning water into wine.
I love the wine. There's no doubt about that.
Okay. So, Ursula, if you don't mind, if you would introduce Cindy.
I met Cindy Ayers very briefly before the filing window happened in October last year. Cindy found out about the filing window really weeks before the window happened and managed to pool her resources very quickly, filed an application for the Greenville, Mississippi, and got a permit to construct about half a year ago, right, Cindy?
Yes, actually, we got it in March, March 25th.
And so Cindy is really prepared to bring community radio to Greenville, Mississippi. And Greenville, for those of you who don't know, is in the northwestern part of Mississippi, kind of across the river from Arkansas. It's a historic area in terms of music and also civil rights era. And Cindy also has been working together with the Farm Bill to get money allocated by Congress for developing economic and educational and media resources in rural communities. And Cindy is the executive director of the Delta Foundation, which is an economic recovery organization in Mississippi. Did I introduce you correctly, Ms.?
That's correct. It's a nonprofit. It's one of the oldest nonprofits in Mississippi, and it just happens to be African American owned. And we're about to celebrate our 40th year next July.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so
and
much for the great
Dina,
introduction.
And I just want to add that I had Cindy on my radio show a while back, and she's a fabulous person to interview.
So,
thank
Cindy,
you,
I don't know if you have a planned presentation, but I think people in this group have been very supportive of the whole process of Radio South and the filing, you know, really about people that were filing and, you know, are eager to hear, you know, how that was for you and what your plans are now.
Well, thank you, and Ursula, thank you so much. Let me say to the group, thank you so much, and I can't tell you what an opportunity this is and how much help and just your presence of being to help the South and other areas to be able to participate is unbelievable and so heartfelt. Let me say thank you. I'm sure I can speak on behalf of a lot of the Southern states when I say that. It is something that we're venturing into that we knew nothing about. And as Ursula said, I found out maybe 3 weeks before the window was closing. So that put me in a fast pace. But I was determined to make something happen because the need is so great in this area. So I put everything on hold and brought some people in and did nothing but do the application and put everything together that we needed in order to file. And as Ursula said, March 25th, we got the letter from FCC saying that we, you know, was granted our license. And, of course, you know there's 36 months for us to get everything up and running. But the good thing about this, again, is that if it was not for how this group in Pacifica, especially Ursula, guided me and put the things in place that we could participate with, there's just no way in the world I would, and I'm sure I speak for many others, would have been able to even get an application in. So to you that's out there, we're very appreciative. And I can speak for me, specifically for Delta Foundation. It's something that we have embarked upon and taken it very serious to heart. Once we start into any venture, we try to make sure that it's going to benefit as much of the community as possible, which is our mission. As I said earlier, Delta Foundation was established in 1969, during the heart of the Civil Rights Movement here in Mississippi. So a lot of this Delta Foundation was created out of the Civil Rights Movement as an economic development arm for people in the Mississippi Delta, especially for the impoverished area. And again, I'm very proud to say that this is our 40th year being in business and operation, where our mission has not changed to be an economic development arm for the people of the Mississippi Delta, and we're still here. I've been fortunate enough to be here for this is going into my third year as CEO of Delta Foundation, and this radio station, this media part, is a new arm that we have now placed under our umbrella. So I can't say enough again how appreciative we are and I am to be able to embark on this new venture.
Cindy, this is Chandra Hauptman from KPFA. I'm really glad to hear and about your new station and would like to congratulate you and would ask if you would be willing to write a letter to the executive director of the Pacifica Foundation stating what you just said, because it would be really, really helpful in this time of making the management of the network aware of how vital a role the affiliates director has played in helping your station become into existence.
I would be more than happy to do that. And if I can get with Ursula a little later and get all the information, I can get started on that tomorrow and get it in to where I needed to go to, because, you know, honestly, the story really needs to be told. Without you guys at Pacifica and the direction, the way some things were set up, I know we wouldn't have our station here.
And if you could copy that to the next, it would also be helpful.
I will do that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Would you talk a bit about how you envision being able to use the station to realize the foundation's mission and to serve the local community?
Well, one of the things in our mission that we have is in education, and of course, education comes in so many forms, but I think being educated not just in the sense of academia, but also in the sense of knowing what's going on in your community. So we plan to do programs with state, local news and talk shows about what's going on. One of the things that we're so excited about that we're going to utilize, we're actually going to be able to do classes per se via our radio. And I say that if you're familiar with rural areas, then you know that a lot of our areas, especially here in Mississippi, is still in a lot of poverty areas. And everyone does not have Internet. They do not have computers, and they don't have accessibility to the Internet. So they're still at a major disarray for being able to get accessibility to needed information. So one of the things that we're planning to do is actually to have educational programs, VI, what's going on in the schools, for instance, subjects. We're going to actually do subjects or how to do certain things, how do you, and this is going to help parents as well as help some of the students or the children to be able to know what's going on. We're going to work closely with the school system for their curriculum that we're working with now anyway with after-school programs and be able to have the teachers actually go through and say, this is how things are done, how you formulate sentences, how you look for your different verbs. And a whole part of that is how we intend to do. But I think it's not only going to help the student but the parents as well, because we still have a lot of illiteracy here with some of the parents or the parents or the older people here that are parents or grandparents that are rearing a lot of their children that really can't help or is helping as much as they can with homework and other things. So we intend for that to be a part. But, again, the news on what's going on, some of the activities that's going on in the area that they will know about before they happen so they can participate for health fairs, for different things that are going on that would affect them that they should know about. If they can't attend, at least they will have knowledge of knowing. So we intend to do that as a big part of our information out to the people. And one of the things that I want to mention is that we were we're working closely with three other new licensed radio stations that actually will be on either side of me for how distance we can go, and we're working to syndicate some programs together, which is one of the things that I did early on with the three that I knew about from my area, from Mississippi, to say to them, if you're the winner of this station, we will support you, and we ask that you let us participate in some form or fashion with some of the programs that we see, and vice versa. If I'm successful, then I will do the same for you. So we put that understanding out there, and we intend to work together to hopefully reach as many people as we can, even though our areas might be different. They're all the same when you look at the type, the things we're trying to reach, the people we're trying to reach, and things we're trying to do. So we're looking at collaboration as much as possible.
Cindy, would you describe the building that you're going to have the station in?
Right. Well, the building that we're very excited about, we've already purchased the building, and the building is in downtown Greenville where we'll be housed. It's a building that was built in 1903 as a bank, one of the founder of older buildings in downtown area. And we've actually bought this this building, and I've actually put a flat in the first floor, which I have residence in. I just finished actually an apartment that's right next door, a cute little two-bedroom, 1,200 square feet apartment. The building is a 20,000 square feet building, two floors, and on the second floor is where we will house the radio station, along with a recording studio, as well as some specialty shops, because we want it to be a place where we can train young people and community people on broadcasting, how it's done, but at the same time be able to bring in community people to be able to have a place so they do have a voice, as well as to use it as a recording-type studio for some of the local talent, the blues and some of the other talents that are here to be able to use it that way. As part of where the radio station would be, the building up, the space, we're doing some specialty shops. There will actually be businesses there in the building as well. So we intend for it to be a place where people can come, do other things to actually be able to have the radio station as close by, as touchable. So we're excited about what we're going to do and how we intend to make it. It's just not going to be just a building or just some automation in place. We really will have the people in as a part of it. Intend to train the students on how to operate it as well. So we're really trying to bring the youth part in, as well as be able to let the message just get out to the people. So it really will be a community radio station.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We're excited about it.
Hey, this is Alan Minsky here.
What's the time frame you think that the station will be operating at? I missed that at the beginning.
Right. Well, what we're doing right now is that in August we actually will be doing starting to get everything together. Right now, I'm actually doing some more renovations to the building. You know, we're putting in some new windows, and the building, by the way, have about 96 windows between the two floors. But we, you know, setting the places up for the padded to make sure the sound and everything will be there. So I'm doing some renovations on the building right now where the radio station will be housed, specifically for right now for the radio station. We hope to be up and running by year end. We've already we allocated $200,000 for our first year for getting the things we need in to get it up and running. So one of the good things about going after this is that when we decide to go after, we put some money aside for it. So now everything else we are doing is raising other funds to be able to have so that we truly can do some of the things we want to do with it. But, you know, one of the great parts about that is that the foundation itself, we set aside the money, this much money for our startup.
As I said at the top, unfortunately, I got to go in a minute or so, a couple minutes. I apologize about that. It's KPFK Fund Drive, and my hours were very early, and my wife scheduled a dinner for me because I've been home since 2:30, and I didn't know that. But I do want to say, Ms. Ayers, that when you get up and running, do you have a pen handy?
I do, yes.
I'm going to give you my email, and I'm at KPFK Radio, Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to have the whole story up on KPFK as an interview. So we could talk to you from your studios and have you on KPFK just to talk about the project. I think that'd be real interesting, and it's just a great story.
Great. Well, sure. I'm ready.
My name is Alan Minsky. I'm senior producer at KPFK. And my email is just my first initial, A, Minsky. So it's A-M-I-N-S-K-Y at kpfk.org.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure thing.
Thank you. This is Tico for KPFA in California. I think it's a great fundraising story for everybody involved. And so it is a kind of thing where it's like if we all work together and make radio happen, and we also get a chance to, you know, float each other's boats or whatever it is, you know, in terms of get the word out so that we can keep doing a lot more work. I had a couple questions. I was hoping you could explain from you guys' point of view down there what assistance has been most useful in past tense, which will be most useful going forward, and kind of, you know, how you see the you know, best view of how we can all work together to all everybody's benefit.
Well, you know, I was talking with Ursula early on. One of the things I've been doing is working closely with some of the congressional members of Congress. The Farm Bill was one of the ones. Because the other part of what we do at the foundation, we actually do educational training with labs doing technology training. And Congressman Clyburn, the congressman from South Carolina, was very instrumental in getting some language in the Farm Bill that he pushed. And actually being able to do, we'll be able to do training centers throughout the countryside, not just Mississippi, but throughout the countries, but in rural areas where we'll be able to go in and set up some of these labs. And I'm hoping that we can utilize the radio stations like this throughout the states, and using radio to screen or to do some other things that we can all do together as it relates to the radio. And how we can put some things through to utilize that, because, again, the rural areas, not just Mississippi, but rural areas throughout the country, still having a problem having accessibility to affordable Internet service. So a lot of this, I still feel like we're going to go through and do it through radio. And there's not one home that don't have a radio. And hopefully there's not one group that we can get to with some of our stations to be able to utilize that with. So I'm trying to, you know, Ursula, now we've talked about this, but how can we sit down to put something together to make this work? And I know that some people are open for ideas and how we can do some of this. So, you know, pretty much that's part of how I see it.
Sure, sure.
I would like to go back to the question, though. So part of his question was, what was it that was helpful in the past? What do you think would be helpful in the future? I think it's marvelous that you were able to connect economic development and education with radio and combine and say, hey, you need a radio for communication, and once you have communication, you'll have these other things. That's an important connection to be able to convey to a community. So my question was, what was it that Radio for People or Pacifica most helped you with, and what can we do in the future?
Well, let me just say, without a doubt, what we need and what has happened, what will continue to help, is having the knowledge of how to formulate this. I mean, I'm a nonprofit. I know nothing about radio from that standpoint. So what Pacifica and Radio for People has done and need to continue to do is to help me with that roadmap to do this. I can't do it by myself. I can do certain things, but I don't know how to really put everything in place, look at what the formats need to be, how you set some other things up. You guys, this is what you do. This is your business. This is something that we're adding to my repertoire, but I know nothing about this industry. So I need help. I need guidance and direction from the type of equipment we need to buy to the whole part of how we can utilize this to better get to the community, some things that's already working. So I need all the guidance. I feel like I'm a newborn here, and as parents, you got to show me how it's done. And we're very open to listen. We're good children. You know, you tell me how, and I listen, and I will implement. But we truly do need that. I know I do, and I know other stations, other lucky FCC recipients are pretty much in the same boat. We do different things, but we never did this.
Well, I can tell you, as we approach our one-year anniversary here at WMXP, I, too, look at Pacifica and the technical assistance for us, particularly program and content, that has been a real boon. And there are hundreds of years of its broadcast experience, both within Pacifica itself and the more than 100 task force members, all of whom will be honored and pleased to help to midwife you all to term, as it were. So at this point, unless someone else has other questions or comments, I'm going to thank you, Cindy, for having joined us this evening, and then we'll turn to our business of the evening, and I will send your package off to you. Maybe I can get myself together and get it done on Saturday.
Well, thank you so much, and thank everyone for an opportunity. Now, one other thing you guys could really do to help, if you send Ursula down here with me for about 6 months, it's going to tell her what world I can't take over. but again, I really want to thank you. Thank you so much for including me in. You know, please look out for us. We need your help, and we need you to continue to do what you do, and that's to build the builder communities by getting information out, and I can't say that enough. Thank everyone. If you're ever in Mississippi, guys, or need to come down, I got plenty of space. Come in and see me, and anything you can do to help, I really appreciate it.
Thanks for the invitation.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. I will.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Cindy.
Madam Chair, are there any people who have joined the call? Could they please identify themselves at this time?
It's Rip Robbins here.
Thank you, Rip.
The next item on the agenda is the approval of the, first of all, let me thank you for organizing Cindy's visit. And Teresa, to thank you for getting tonight's meeting organized and the agenda prepared and distributed. That I can't tell you both how important that work was and is essential to our being able to move forward. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. So if there are any additions or modifications, if we can entertain those at this time.
Afia, this is Dina. This is Dina. Could I say something?
Please.
I sent you an email and sent Ursula an email. I had invited Dave Adelson at 9:15. He did not respond, so I don't expect that he'll come on the line. But should he come on the line, I'm wondering if we could, just for that 15 minutes, move to the part of the agenda that he would be included in, which has to do with one of the committees.
And which committee are you referring to?
I don't have the agenda in front. Tell me the two committees, and I'll tell you.
We have the.
What is the affiliate? It's the other one.
We have one is definition and another is eligibility and role.
Yes, it's around the eligibility one. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's vague. I don't expect him to be on the phone, but should he, could we just move that committee meeting up for that 15 minutes?
Madam Chair,
is there any objection? In that there's no objection, then I would say yes when at whatever convenient breaking point it might be that he appears, then we can do that.
Thank you.
I also wanted to move number 11 up, that we set at least the next meeting date. And if people have agenda items to offer, then fine. But certainly that we try and set the next meeting date while we have the maximum number of people on. So if we could move that up to make that, say, 3A.
Afia?
Yes?
Chandra? We've always had the meeting on the second Thursday of the month. At the same time, so unless there's a problem with that, we do have a regular meeting date.
That would be July 10th.
Okay.
Unless there's an objection, Madam Chair, should we just put it down that we're going with July 10th?
Please.
Rip Robbins here.
Hi
there. Thank you. I just wanted to say hello to everybody, and I apologize for being late. We were doing a special kind of almost timely news broadcast, so I was monitoring that. So I apologize for being late and want to say hi to everybody.
Hi.
No problem.
Hi,
okay. So then if we could now proceed with the approval of the minutes for February 14th, May 8th, and May 15th, beginning with February 14th. Has everyone received copies of those three sets of minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to approving them? Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't. I skipped the approval of the agenda. Was it anything else to be added or changed to the agenda? And is there any objection to approving the agenda with the two modifications? One being that moving the next meeting date, even though it's a regularly scheduled meeting, I would prefer that the date is expressly indicated, if for no other reason than that it's helpful to me and it reminds me to put it on my date timer. One, and two, that if Dave Edelson calls in, then he will participate in the discussion on the affiliate director eligibility and role subcommittee discussion. So is the agenda approved with those, or is there any objection to approving the agenda as described? Okay, then, that being the case, is there any objection to approving the minutes as distributed for the meetings of February 14th, 2008, May 8th, and May 15th, 2008? Okay. Then we can say that they've been approved. They were approved without objection and proceed to the next item, which is the report on the Media Reform Conference. And Rip, if you would join me in this, I would appreciate it since you were there also.
Sure. No problem.
Okay. First, as a first-time attendee, it was very exciting and in a lot of ways very humbling to be there with so many people, to see the faces, to finally put faces to the voices of the folk who do so much of the tremendous work that make up the community radio broadcasting community, and not just the stars, but just the everyday people, the young people, especially, who were so energetic and are so creative in their use of the medium of radio and the way that they have brought to bear so many other vehicles. There's a sound in the background. I can't tell exactly what it is. It's like...
it's like paper rattling.
Thank you.
Pound 1 is mute.
Thank you. That's one thing. The second was to have an opportunity to meet with other, to meet with Rip and Norm, who both of whom expressed continuing interest in the affiliates task force, and are being able to give it more substance and more relevance to affiliates, identifying the needs of affiliates and finding ways to see that they are met, as well as enhancing our relationship with the Pacifica network and fulfilling the larger mission that we both have, and that is to educate the listening public and to be a vehicle for, in some senses, the voice of the voiceless, to use a much worn cliche, but at the same time that I think that it still remains relevant and useful in terms of what we're about. So, Rip, if you would add to what you think is important.
Well, yeah, I was impressed by a number of the speakers there who spoke in ways that I think Pacifica could learn from. There weren't many folks there from Pacifica. However, individual producers were there, and some were featured on panels. Sonali from KPFK, Davey D from KPFA. Afia, you and I ran into a producer from WBAI that was down there with someone else. So just people who are really interested in the media. I was really inspired, and I wanted to write something to the PNB about looking at the Van Jones video. He was a closing speaker, and he's working in a clean energy right now because he believes that that's a way to lift people out of poverty. And one of his sayings was that our youth need green-collar jobs, not jails. Mm-hmm. And other aspects of his speech I felt were especially applicable to Pacifica, where they have five stations, you have like five countries, and they're all trying to get along, and people are all different, you know. And the way that he spoke about people from different interests coming together was very inspiring. And I know that Free Speech or Free Press has those videos, and it's Van Jones and really good. And kind of like Afia, it was I went there like a vacation because walking around with all the folks that I hear and that are writing the books and writing the articles for the press, it's very inspiring just to be there and just run into everybody as you're walking along and start and have a little chat. It's just really great. So I was really inspired there to do radio, and FCC commissioners were there. One interesting thing is Fox News covered it, and it just shows that the movement is growing to such an extent that in a national level that we had right-wing media coming there to specifically attack those of us at the conference. And so, Bill O'Reilly called us a bunch of left-wing, wackos on Wednesday. They sent their photographers to ambush Bill Moyers. They're accusing him of being biased and leftist. And Fox filmed the entire presentation of the new Phil Donahue movie about an Iraq veteran who come back and was with Cindy Sheehan and in D.C. protesting. It was really inspiring, and so I was glad to go. And more to this task force, I guess it was important that I did meet again with Afia. I'd seen her at NFCB, but we hadn't talked really. The ability to be face-to-face is so important, and that's why I support having all the meetings that the bylaws call for, and that the affiliates, I think, bring an important perspective to the Pacifica stations, because it's time to really stop being provincial and start joining with our communities across this country where people think just like us, and we need to come together to take back control of our country, and through the media, that's how we're going to do it. So that's what I got out of it.
Ursula, were you there?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, that's too bad. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I had raised that with Nicole, that whether or not Ursula would be able to attend, was slated to attend in light of the fact that the affiliate budget reflects $6,000 for conference participation. And she, meaning Nicole, said that that Ursula, due to the current financial difficulties of Pacifica, would not be attending that conference, but would be attending the grassroots conference. In that, and also because Nicole did not said that she did not see it as a major recruiting opportunity. And I was going to add to the point that Rip made, or the comments that Rip made and myself earlier, is that I'm not entirely certain that it could not have been, not only in terms of recruiting additional stations, but also assessing resources available. One of the other aspects of the conference was the training. There was a lot of stuff on theory and trends, but there was a significant training track, which in what I understand to be called new media. So there was everything from citizen journalism, which for those of us who have websites give access to our listeners to be able to interact with our local programming, to how to organize and recruit and organize people in the community, young people, senior citizens, to help them to participate in radio and the radio community. So I agree with you that it's unfortunate that Ursula was not included, and I think that we need to find out how the $6,000 that is allocated for conferences is being spent, and how the proceeds are being shifted for the benefit of the affiliates as well as for the network.
See, if I could just add one piece to that.
Please.
Ursula, very early on, I think it was the very first media conference, attended on behalf of Pacifica and did for many years before this became a huge event. So Pacifica was there at the very beginning helping to make this happen. And it's just sad that now that it's a big event that we don't have our presence there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was also Radio Row, which, every time I walked by it and knew that there was not a Pacifica station there, I found it bothersome. Of course, Free Speech News and Democracy Now! Were there, and although they have a Pacifica reference, really they are viewed in the world as being freestanding entities.
They might not be standing much longer.
I saw an earlier email. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that they'll go on.
Well, they can't afford to go on. They've been cut $13,500 a month by Pacifica, starting as of June 1st. So unlikely that Free Speech Radio News is going to be able to continue at the same without that major support.
Well, let's see. We don't have that discussion on the agenda, so I don't want to get too far out on that. But I think we could.
And I wanted to make one comment about the event participation. This is Kiko for KPFA. I don't disagree with anybody's analysis on this whole question, but I do understand the whole thing of a new boss coming into a, or you know, a new director coming in and saying, just stop spending money, everybody. So I don't necessarily want to hear that stuff without commenting and say it, but it's possibly just, you know, like a first, you know, thing reaction. We don't necessarily have to go telling everybody how to, you know, that, like, I don't know. Our opinions should speak for themselves. And we should support people stopping spending money for a moment, to some degree. Or at least comprehend it, I guess. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, without making an aside, I can't let that just drop. As adults, this affiliate task force has a budget, and this conference was budgeted. I think it's up to the task force to determine how the monies within the budget can be spent. There is a budget. It comes out of the contracts from the affiliates. We're not asking Pacifica for money.
Rip Robbins here.
Go ahead, Rip.
Yeah, what I think in discussions with Greg Guma and Lonnie Hicks about the task force, and this goes way back to when there didn't seem to be any acknowledgement of Ursula's workload and the job, the work that she's performing on and had been performing on a regular basis, and what it really was versus what her current job, the affiliate coordinator position encompassed. And so, unable to get anywhere, you know, we started taking recommendations. And so there's definitely a resistance by the executives, both of them, and Greg, too, objecting to the idea that the task force can intercede in these kind of what they consider to be their purview, which is it's their budget, she's their employee per se, and that they are the ones who determine how that money's spent. And I'm not, you know, I mean, that's what their position is. And I'm sure that Nicole's going to have the same consideration here. So that's what it really comes to. It's not, you know, Dina saying we should have the say on how that goes. And I can tell you that when we go and make those recommendations, then we've made recommendations already, and I had to go talk those up. So I know that's what I'm speaking to, that's going to be definitely out there, that National is going to object to us making these recommendations.
Well, you know, there's a contractual relationship, and the question is whether or not the terms of the contract are being met. That is the issue. And so it's not a question of whether or not a staff member is or is not doing a specific thing. The question is whether or not the organization is meeting its contractual relationship with other entities to which it has an obligation. And that, I think, is our challenge to be able to determine whether it is or is not.
Well, just to respond to that, I think you're absolutely right. You've honed in on what I think is right now a point of dispute between the recognition by the executives of that matter, as opposed to a simple kind of buy and sell relationship where they're selling a program and we're taking it and staying at arm's length. So I think you're identifying what's really at the crux of the issue right now.
Maybe we can formally create some mechanism to focus on that question. Do we want to set up a subcommittee at this point, or do we
want to... Can you restate the question as you're understanding it, just so I understand better?
Wait a minute. Restate which question? The question...
Well, you said we should form... That's an interesting point. We should form a subcommittee, and I was hoping you could state...
that we form a subcommittee to look at the question of the contractual relationship between the affiliates and Pacifica, and whether or not the terms of the contract are being met to the satisfaction of the affiliate.
Well, you may be we're kind of talking about the task force being kind of an oversight of that performance.
Exactly.
Is that limited to recommendations? I mean, how are we going to convince the board and executives that this is what should be done here?
Well, I think we start off with recommendations, but you know, contracts are legal documents. So,
I'm concerned that this is Tico again from KPFA. I'm also concerned that this is a whole bunch of nonprofits all trying to work together, mm-hmm. and the tone of I think the tone of the conversation should move toward collaboration and fulfilling more than the idea is that we're all giving things away in certain senses. I mean, I know that dollars and cents have to balance. And there's a lot of space in there to argue about whether a contract requires you to do things specifically the way somebody says it should be done versus, because what I heard people saying was that there was an amount in the budget for conferences and that there's a history of this person going to this conference in the past. And I agree with everything you were saying, but it's a step beyond that to tell somebody that they had to do it that way, unless it says it just really explicitly in the contract, not because there's a history of, and I don't know, I just, if it goes immediately to disputing the contract, it's a very aggressive position that concerns me, just as a first-time participant in this task force.
The question at this point is whether or not we want to create a vehicle that in which this discussion can occur, because we're not going to do it on this call. We're not going to go into any great detail of it on this call. And the first answer is yes or no, and if it's yes, then are there any volunteers to be on it?
Well, Afia, could I respond to the fiscal question here? Because that's what I think is being asked about this, is about prudent fiscal management at a time of difficulty for the foundation and for a first-time participant here. So what I'd like to just say a couple things about...
Is this Rip?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, would you all please identify yourself?
Yeah. Right. The background on this is that the budgeted money is actually in the budget that is acquired through the dues payments, so that there's some thinking that the affiliate program should not suffer the same ups and downs as the board's dealing with the foundation right now in terms of meetings and travel, because the affiliate money came in. And since that money is budgeted, the reaction to fiscal crisis is to stop doing everything, and that may be true in some cases. But on the other hand, if you're in a business of media, you need to invest in the future. And so I think that, you know, maybe a group of people would have considered that Ursula or someone from Pacifica should have gone to this conference. And even though Pacifica's in fiscal, harm right now, there was money in the affiliate budget for this that shouldn't necessarily be reallocated in another way at National, and that in that way that this organization could have this task force would have more influence. And actually, while I wasn't talking here, I was thinking about it, that what we're really asking is this become a committee, because that's what committees do. The finance committee makes recommendations on budget matters. Other committees make recommendations for policy development. That's what we're asking for here.
Can I raise a more general question, which doesn't have to be answered, but this is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
And this is a question that, I mean, relates to this, but it's more general because it seems to be affecting even whether the board can meet at all. And so with respect to the affiliate committee, to the affiliate budget, I don't know, maybe people know this and I'm missing something. If it's, a, you know, if it's, if it's, in other words, it's the money that the affiliates, you know, contribute to Pacifica, but then it's Pacifica has control over it. But the question that what I'm getting at is it, in general, obviously all financial decisions should ultimately be made by the ED. And as we all know, currently there's some question as to whether or not it's the CFO who has control over the finances or the ED. In this situation, I'm just trying to figure out, are there some things that the ED makes decisions on right now and other things that the CFO makes decisions on? Because we're getting one impression that the ED can't do anything because the CFO is holding all the marbles. In this instance, that seems to be an exception. No? Or is there something else we're missing? Or was the decision made by Lonnie? In other words, I'm not saying this question has to be answered now, but it seems to be a more general question of who is, you know, who is calling the shots and who should be calling the shots between the ED, the CFO, and, of course, the board itself. So I just want to put that out there as far as something to think about more in general, if that makes sense.
Madam Chair, Teresa.
Please, go ahead.
I'm wondering if we should continue this line of discussion during the part of the agenda, which is your report on the media reform conference. Perhaps we should put this into new business, bring it up then, or create a task force or a subcommittee to discuss it, because I think that when we talk about the affiliate coordinator's job description and how that affects what we provide according to contract, maybe that is something that needs to be discussed in executive session, first of all. Because to suggest during a streaming meeting that we're not providing something that's covered in contracts maybe is not appropriate. So I think that I kind of object to continuing this. We ought to do something with it right away. Either put it into new business or create a subcommittee.
I agree with you, and I accept that's a suggestion since it's not actually a motion. So I would go back to my earlier question, and that is whether or not there is an interest in creating a vehicle, or better still, let's move away from this and let's move that question to new business, and people will have the rest of the call to think about it, and we'll come back to it.
Madam Chair, I do have one comment to Joe's question. If I could.
No, I don't know. We've already. I am not going to be on this call past 10 o'clock. I have another call, so.
Sure, I'll hold it.
It's unscheduled discussion. Well, thank you. The next item is the report from the affiliate coordinator. So, Ursula, if you would make your report at this time.
Okay, I'll be brief. In the last months, the focus here in the office has been primarily in collecting fees for. There's been a lot of outstanding fees, not only from this year, not really from this year, but from last year. So I've been working with the folks that haven't paid the fees, and it's actually been people have been very, very it's been a very actually very positive experience. We've also been surveying affiliates. Nicole asked for some updated information, so we've been spending a lot of time getting information from affiliates about their program usage, which is, you can imagine, a very time-consuming operation, thing to do. We had kind of an exciting guest 2 days ago this guy from Berlin who does a program with children, and he's interested in international children's program, came by here to our office and was really, really great. And in terms of what we're doing, he wants to work with Sprouts, but even more importantly, he's very connected to all of the radio stations, in community radio stations in Europe, and said that he would go back and try and figure out for me or help or work with me to figure out, you know, what are possible affiliates and who can pay. I mean, and kind of figure out the whole payment situation that I haven't been able to figure out from here, you know, internationally. So that was kind of interesting. And just to kind of help me get a lay of the land of who's doing what in Europe, just different system than it is here. And that was just very cool, kind of step forward in terms of the international aspect of the program. And currently, Doug is not working. We, as you know, a lot of employees were, we were told back after.
Did somebody stop the crinkling of the paper or whatever that is? Thank you.
Since last Monday, contracts are not being, people on contract are not being paid, and so Doug has stopped working. He came in a day or two and worked on a volunteer basis, but, and so I, you know, we were given a process by which to, you know, make an appeal that an employee is necessary for the operations, and I made that appeal and have not heard anything yet. And I think that's all I have to say right now. I guess apropos the discussion earlier about, you know, outreach that kind of started around the Media Reform Conference, I was advised by the executive director that I am not to conduct any, you know, outreach beyond to affiliates. So that I think was a, you know, a clear directive on the part of management. And I guess I'll leave it at that.
Did anyone have questions for Ursula?
I would like to ask Rip. This is Teresa. Rip, didn't the national board approve the assistant position?
Well, the board approved a position. If there was a contract expiration, I don't know that National has to fill each position that they have.
Doug has a contract until September 30th.
Well, breaking a contract, well, not knowing, I mean, I still have a question about who sent the free speech newsletter without a board approval, because the board approved that contract too. So I guess the question is, the board only approves to start something, but then the executives can end it. I don't know. It's a question, Teresa, that I can't answer.
I guess there's two more things I guess I should report. One is that the executive director has asked me to raise fees for affiliates, so I'm currently working on, you know, a fee structure that I think is reasonable.
Didn't you just raise fees last year?
We raised them 2 years ago. And, I'll leave it at that. I think that's, I don't want to take up too much time.